for us to give the airwaves back to you. It is called the Fireside Chats. Our little friend Jeremy has chimed in. He's sitting down. Brett's here with us today as we go back to the airwaves. Let you own them as you do. You know, the reason we have on Sunday mornings at 5 a.m. a show about the city called Public. What is it? Public Access?
No, Valley Focus. Yeah.
No, that's what the show's called, but it's some sort of, I don't remember what it's called.
Community Relations.
Yeah. But it is, it's because we care about the people, and that's when we give you guys the time, 5 a.m. on Sunday.
Well, that's when everybody's listening. And
right. Well, that's when everybody's up just going, I wonder what's going on in the city. But then we do it here on prime time, Friday around 8:30 to let you guys have at it.
And it's on multiple stations, so if you try to change the channel,
It's constant. Everybody knows that's the prime time to let you guys have your air. But we do it right here. We let you guys chat, bring up anything you want. The topic is yours. The floor is yours. All we ask is you don't waste our time. Brett, tell me who's on line one, and let's go right there.
Line one is Raul, wants to talk about his wife's grandfather or grandparents having dinner with Ed Gein.
Oh,
whoa. Yeah.
Hit the button.
What?
Oh, all right, line one. Oh, Brett is struggling with phones. That's two, one. There you go. Raul, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Raul, okay. I just got a tease on this thing. Tell me about Ed Gein.
So my wife was telling me a story that I guess her grandparents or her father's grandpa's sister, I guess, was having dinner. Her and her husband were having dinner with Ed Gein one day, and she was pregnant at the time. And I think this was before they found everything out, and I guess
it wasn't after
dinner. And she was pregnant, and they were just having dinner, a regular conversation, and then he reached over, touches her pregnant stomach, and like, oh, that looks good. And after he did that, they kicked him out of the house and told him to get out.
Yeah. Now, people that don't know, Ed Gein is the guy.
So they had him over to
their house. They popped him over because he was kind of the city weirdo, a little bit off in the town he was in. But Ed Gein is like the impetus. He's kind of the inspiration for Psycho, Silence of the Lambs. Ted Bundy studied him quite a lot. He skinned women, skinned people, killed and skinned, and dressed up like his mom.
Did he make things with the skin?
Well, yeah, he would make like little items out of it, but he was basically like he had, oh, it's disturbing how his serial killer stuff is so disturbing. And then he shot a woman, a clerk at a store in the neighborhood, and I don't know that he ever did her, but they found like he was in high heels all the time. His mom used to punish him by dressing him as a woman and turn him into this crazy person. So your great-grandfather's sister, you said?
Grandfather's
sister. Oh, my God. Horrifying.
Yeah, that's his cost of Concordia.
Yeah, so you were so close to not – you literally were like Brett driving home the other day when that train crashed, so close to not even being here anymore. If Ed Gein would have slaughtered that baby. Wow. Did it make you want to study Ed Gein a lot?
Oh, I looked him up a little bit, and then I was just kind of laughing at the thing, and then I thought it was funny that my wife told me this because she's pregnant right now.
Oh,
jeez.
So, if we deal with Elton John's Circle of Life, then a serial killer will reach over and touch your wife's belly.
Yep. Yeah, right.
That's interesting role play.
All right. Well, good. Well, thank
you,
Raul.
What are you guys doing for dinner tonight?
Does Brady wants to come touch your wife's tummy. Is that all right?
Yeah, sure. Come over.
All right. Raul, great story. Odd and strange, and I don't know what it means, but I love any connection to a serial killer that people have, and that's close enough for me.
It says, Ed Gein, 2 murders confirmed, 9 corpses mutilated from dug-up graves.
Yeah. Well, they confirmed. God. I think he shot 2
We only
people.
Got 2? That's what it, yeah, that's what. Well, you know how trustworthy Wikipedia is.
Well,
but,
no, that is true. He
was just suspected of way more than
the murders were obvious. He shot a clerk behind a counter, and I don't think he drug her out or did anything. I don't remember that exactly, but I do know, he would grave rob and he would do stuff like that. But then he'd take the skin and like make faces. And so that's why Psycho, and he had troubles with his mom, so he dressed like his mom a lot. And, Ed Gein's awesome. And he's got that Elmer Fudd hat.
Did they profile him a little bit on that, was it HBO or Showtime, that FBI, where they started? It was about how they started the profile.
Oh, the Mindhunters?
Mindhunters.
Yeah, Mindhunters.
It was on Netflix, yeah. Netflix, that one was... Yeah.
The co-ed killer.
Yeah, they did that with, I forget his name offhand, but yeah, the giant.
That's the one I always go to.
Yeah, the picture of him. I mean, you could tell he was... Look at the face. There's the carved up face that he would wear. Oh! And yeah, he had like skull bones. And
he
didn't
have anything past like an elementary school education.
Yeah, he was
right?
He was a dopey handyman kind of. I mean, kind of a town goof. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, the skull bowls and hands, gloves, belts. Yeah, he made all sorts of stuff. And then he kept their heads. And that's in Silence of the Lambs when the head's in that case at the storage facility Jodie Foster sneaks into.
Oh, yeah.
They had a Benjamin Raspail. He was a patient of mine. That's based on the thing they found in Ed Gein's house, which was in that that display box. That right there, the face.
Wow.
So there's a ton of stuff if you look at Ed Gein and if you've seen Silence of the Lambs as many times as I have. You'd be like, oh, that's where they got that, or that's where they got that. It's crazy. Anyway, thank you, Raul. All right, next one, number two.
Number two would be Mark. He wants to talk about baby caskets.
Oh, God. Yeah, I really expected more Eric questions, but evidently no. Mark, are you there?
I am.
All right, Mark. We talked earlier about baby caskets popping up as an ad on my feed because I made jokes with a friend of mine. Go on.
I believe they popped up because you're always wanting to sacrifice your sack. So maybe your sack used the baby casket.
So you think, while I sleep, my balls get to work on the internet and start, you know, they're throwing out like obvious clues that they're upset that I've killed so many babies.
Hey, buddy, let's go and do some searching.
No, you had a bet earlier with someone that you'd actually castrate yourself. So I figured, why not put it in the baby basket?
That's Donnell Rawlings. I bet that I would castrate myself. You're right. I wonder if they're trying to send the message that you might as well just toss it in the baby casket.
Are you getting the Lego one?
If I do, I will get the Lego one. That was the most fun one. Yeah, I think my balls would appreciate the baby casket of Lego. So weird. Yeah, you're not shopping for one, are you?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, nobody should be. If you are, it's out of necessity. Well, thank you for chiming in with that weirdness. We had Ed Gein.
Don't want to
waste your time. That's a good theory.
Yeah, no, you're not. Yeah, a dude worse than Ed Gein calls after the Ed Gein call. Line three, what do you got?
All right, line three is Dustin. He wants to talk about wearing masks.
Okay. Dustin, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, Dustin, fire away.
So I work with a lot of people that find the masks are just, they don't really need them. So I'm just trying to figure out what's a good recommendation and to encourage them to wear them all the time instead of getting everybody sick.
What's a good chance to, or how do you talk people, anti-maskers, into being maskers?
Is this at work
exactly.
or just in general?
Can you say what kind of work you do?
Construction.
And the guys aren't wearing them. You're all outside and stuff?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so they're feeling like they're outside. They don't need to do this. And it's probably pretty hot and miserable to have that on your face.
How
right?
close are you?
Yeah, are you
if you're a stucco guy, you're probably pretty close together, but...
Exactly. No, yeah, that's exactly what I work in, stucco. So
hey!
Nobody thinks it's serious.
Jeez, Toledo, this is impressive. Like, you've got a crystal ball into this guy's life.
He's like, hey, look at me.
Yeah, I think just lead by example is the best thing you can do. Don't be that dick
that
at this building?
Oh, we just make everybody wear masks.
Yeah, you have to wear masks. It's mandate from boss. So in our room, we don't because we're far enough apart in here. But once we go into the hallway, we have to mask up.
In construction, there might be a
Oh, they can't hear. Bigger, hold on. Brady, go ahead. Say it again, Brady.
I was going to say like a bigger face shield.
Because
I noticed a lot of people.
Yeah, wear a box on your head.
Brady's saying,
cut some eyes out.
KFC chicken bucket.
Right, get a KFC chicken bucket and cut the eyes out. Walk around like that thing on Fat Albert that had the lampshade on his head.
That's the most economic way to do it.
That might work.
All right, well, good luck to you. I hope it all works out. And yeah, I think leading by example is the only way. Or talk to your boss and say, hey, it's really uncomfortable. Can we at least make some sort of rule where these guys got to wear? Are you worried about it?
No, not really. I'm in my early 30s and no other health implications. So,
right. So you feel
I'm just worried about other people dying.
Right. But you have anybody at your house that could catch it and then they could spread it? I mean, it's just that whole thing that just the trickle down is brutal.
Exactly. No, I'm a loner. Just me and my dog. So that's about it.
You don't need to wear it then.
Yeah. No, I'll be
fine. You'll be fine. Yeah, don't worry about it.
Everybody else, they can deal with it, I guess. Yeah.
Quit being such a bitch. Get to work. All right, see you, man. Thank you.
Will do.
I couldn't hear him at the end.
Oh, I'm sorry. I took him out because I was trying to get you guys not to echo. He called you a boss. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it, Chief. He's got you covered.
Don't worry about it, boss. We got this. And finally, line four.
Bill, who actually was praising Chuck Artig, said he was friends with him or something like that. He wants to talk about vodka freezing during COVID.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Hold on, Bill. This went a totally different direction than I expected. I really opened this. I'll do another round of it. All right, go ahead. Do you want to talk about Chuck? Hello? Bill?
Hello, just asshole.
Love Chuck. Respect him. Belated and good. But I want a question
belated?
About...
No, belated.
My brother-in-law and I were sitting around and had all these lemons. And we were like, what are we going to do with these? We decided to put grain alcohol and vodka in a couple vats and make lemon chill. Now, when I went and froze both of those concoctions, the grain alcohol did not freeze, but all our vodka ones froze. Why would that be?
Low alcohol content.
Yeah, the alcohol content's too low.
Cheap vodka.
What kind of vodka were you using?
A plastic bottle.
Pop-off.
A bombshell.
You were Stoli?
Yeah.
And it froze.
It froze.
That's a good question. I don't know.
I've had plenty. I know in the bottle it doesn't freeze.
I stumped the grade. All right.
All right. I think you've had enough.
All right.
I think he's having a little lemon chill
right now. It's separated. He just drank the alcohol off the top.
I don't think you had vodka. I don't think it's supposed to freeze at all.
You got
that's
kids?
That's exactly what we were maybe it's the sugar content because you put a little sugar at the end of it.
Maybe.
Right? That could be.
Mixing it up might have caused it. Yeah, you might have made it so the alcohol content was less than all the other stuff.
You have teenage kids. Maybe they're taking a swig off it, filling it back up with water.
Oh, maybe that's it. Good question. Jeremy might be right. You might have teenagers that are sucking down and refilling with water, and you don't know it.
The only kid in the house is 10, so he wasn't
good for him.
Yeah, he's starting off the right way.
Look, Jeremy started drinking when he was 6 because in Indiana that's legal. So maybe you want to talk to that 10-year-old. That's an excellent theory.
I'll be sitting them down tonight.
All right. Well, good luck.
Look what you guys did. Poor kid.
We got a 10-year-old.
You screwed him
nice
over.
Job. There you go. If he's interested in a little mustache girl who hasn't had her period yet, we got one. Hey, he's drinking. He's an advanced adult at age 10. This is a guy you want in your house.
Yeah, he likes his women with a little hair on the upper lip.
He's a go-getter.
It's her birthday.
I'm sorry. You brought up the Kirby D. Williams mustache. This is your fault.
I'm so sorry.
Once you paint that picture, I can't help but. Daddy, it's all right. That's my look, baby. Friend. Dad. It's just so great to me because I don't want her to have it. And it'll be gone soon.
She's going
to
do that when she walks in the door today, seeing Brady for the first time. Arms out. Dad.
Yeah. Dad. Friend. Yeah. There's been some changes over the last couple weeks. I'm Kirby D. Williams now. All right. Well, we'll try another round of that. I didn't expect it to go that direction. Honestly, I thought there'd be different questions.
So I just got this text about Ed Gein.
Yeah.
That belt, apparently, that we were looking at was made of human nipples.
Whoa.
I have not read that part. That's new to me.
That's a lot.
We stumped you on Ed Gein. Not stumped, look. But
that's a lot of nipples, man.
And the other one from
that's
Mindhunter
a lot of nipples.
Was Kemper. I can't remember. It's Edmund or Ed the Kemper.
He's the
giant co-ed killer.
Giant?
He's the one that they focused on in Mindhunters.
And the guy they got to play him it's crazy.
Size, look, sound, everything. Genius. Kemper was an absolute genius. Yeah, the serial killer thing
As opposed to Ed Gein?
Ed Gein was not a genius. Ed Gein was a strange little abused
human
being.
He was more on the dull side.
Well, he had a history. He was led to that, which is why he's such an interesting case in Mindhunters. Because is it nature or nurture, the serial killer? Is it trends that were brought up, or is it something that was just innate in you to start with?
Wow.
Did you see the serial killer down there? They got one in India, and he was evidently 50. He's confessed to 50 murders. He would dump the bodies. He got a gang of guys to help him, but he would kill taxi cab drivers. And he was in jail a while ago for killing two. He got out. He was a natural doctor, and he started to perform kidney transplants illegally in India. And they caught him again, let him out again, and then he got caught again busting with cab drivers. And he's like, I've killed like 50. Here's what we were doing. And he had like 4 or 5 friends that would help him when he'd kill these cabbies. They'd go dump him in crocodile waters, and then nobody ever found anything. Because the crocs would just pile into these cabbies, and he just got busted.
Seems like the laws there were a little light.
Well,
he got in trouble for killing people, came back out, decided to be a doctor, got in trouble for that, comes back, and he's like, I'm going to kill again.
He wasn't exactly on the straight and narrow. But yeah, 50 bodies. So they got an Indian serial killer they're dealing with right now. I'm fascinated.
It's tough to keep track of 500 million taxi cab.
That drivers. And yeah, they've got a lot of
motorized bikes.
Everybody there is a cab.
It's ridiculous.
And actually, people were like, "That's good. I'm glad that happened." Because, well, that I watched a documentary on Netflix where a guy was killing hookers in this terrible area of I think it was Cleveland, maybe it was Cincinnati, don't remember. But he was killing
Upper
hookers.
Arlington?
There's
was
no hookers
upper
in Cincinnati.
No, they're high-end prostitutes. Either way,
escorts.
The owner of the bodega shop on the corner was alcohol, and the guy that was killing them slaughtered these ladies and did stuff, and the owner of the bodega's like, I wish there were hundreds more of him to get the slime off the streets. Like, oh, my God. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. All right, another round, a quick round of Fireside Chats if you want to do it again. 585-9800. Anything you want to talk about, here we are, just awaiting on you. Call us up, and we'll have another round next. It's 98. It's 98 KUPD, and in the middle of the Fireside Chats, we're allowing you any time on the air you want. Anything you want to talk about, for crying out loud, talk about it. It's up to you. Brady, was that all right? Did you just click out?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard a pop. Might have been my mic. Anyway, all right, here we go. We'll get right back to it. The phones are waiting for you. Brett has gone through
yes.
everyone. Go
yes.
right ahead. Grab one.
Mike wants to talk about the Eric situation.
Okay,
so.
Let's go. Mike is on line one. I'm, yes. Mike, are you there?
Yes.
All right, Mike, go ahead. What do you got?
I'm just trying to figure out, because it kind of seemed like a shocking, quick decision to me. Was this something that was a long time coming, or was COVID the main part of this?
No. It wasn't COVID at all. I talked about it earlier in the week. We parted ways with Eric after. Here's the thing I'll take. I didn't say this before, and I'll say it now. I did a very bad job of managing things, and that came out through discussions with every single person on this show. And at a certain point, you have to be a boss and not a friend. And I was basically steering this show into a wall without realizing it. There were some underlying issues with people, and when confronted with that by me, I thought it was in the best interest for everyone to go down a different route. There were things said about what goes on in here that I didn't realize were happening as far as tensions between individuals. And I kind of thought to myself, this is not a tenable situation to continue. We could have continued to ignore it and gone on and on and on until I think we'd have had a mutiny on our hands. And I don't know if that's Rich. I don't know if you want to chime in, Brady. I don't know if you want to chime
well,
in.
Well, the only thing I was going to say is it wasn't
so there
like
was tension. Oh, wait. Wasn't just between you and Eric. It was
no.
Eric and involving other people also.
Let Brady say this. Hang on.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I think a lot of it in the past year has been really tough for Eric, the situation he's dealing with. But what would magnify is sometimes there is just certain subjects we could discuss. We couldn't. It wouldn't be a debate. It would turn into an argument.
Well, I'll chime in on that. I don't think that that's altogether accurate. I think what my problem started to get is we started to tiptoe around subjects, or at least that's how I felt.
Yeah,
whether or not
that's how I felt.
Yeah, whether or not Eric was upset or not, I started to realize I'm tiptoeing. That had less to do with Eric, and again, more to do with the fact, as I kind of look back at this, that I was managing things to avoid problems between not only me and other people, but you guys.
That's my take on it. So here from my situation, when we would go down certain roads, there are times when I would leave the room or just not get involved because you know ahead of time that it could either destroy the conversation and create a roadblock to what – and all we're trying to do on this show is have a jackass conversation most of the time. We get serious sometimes too, but – At the end of the day, we're not CNN, we're not Fox, but we want to have conversations about things that everybody else is talking about. And when you reach a point where you don't feel like you can talk about those things, then it kind of becomes
whether or not you can talk about them or not. I personally started to say, wait a minute, I'm on eggshells and I don't know why. When I talked to everybody else was on eggshells. We didn't know why. Whether it's COVID related, all the BS that's gone on in 2020, there seemed to be a pressure building. And I personally was not handling that well as a boss. So I had to put
I don't think that helped.
No,
for sure.
No. And I had to put the show first. And maybe it does seem abrupt, but I think it's a long time coming. Frankly, I'll never say anything bad about Eric. He was awesome the whole time he was here. I don't feel like he was having any fun doing this. And he kind of stated that to me and that he was going home upset a lot. not from the show, but just from extenuating circumstances. I think we picked up on that. And then when my eyes opened to it, I talked to Brady and I talked to Rich, and they're like, oh, no, we've had this underlying thing going on for a while. So I'm like, you know what? There's no reason to have a tense workplace and a tense thing like that. Eric, I got heated with Eric. He got heated with me. Yeah. We went back and forth, and we kind of said stuff that was like, meh, maybe it's best to keep going a different route.
And again, from my point of view, it's never about being unhappy about coming in this room. It's always been fun, even when Eric was here. But when you intentionally are avoiding things, that becomes kind of a deal.
And I think we were. And I think after talking with everybody, we found out there's reasons why, whether it's Eric or not. And I don't blame Eric for that at all. I'm not blaming him, but I'm thinking as I had to make a decision to keep this thing from smashing into a wall, because it's been going great for a long, long time. 19 years is a long time.
Yeah,
Eric had a lot to do with that. And I would never, you know, look, I wish nothing but success for him. I personally, as a boss that stepped out of the show, said to myself, is this the best situation for the show and the people on it? Everything's kept pointing to yes, the best move we can do.
Same way any boss, Trip would do that. Yeah. Your boss at your work would do that. Right. At a certain point, if you're addressing things, then you have to address them.
And I don't have any, you know, look, Eric's probably furious with me about all this and should be. But at the same time, I look at it and I'm like, I think in the long run, he'll come back and go, I don't think he was in a healthy spot here. I don't think the guys were in a healthy spot with him. And I don't think I was as controlled and smart about it as I thought I was. How's that? Is that good?
I guess the one other thing I guess that was just kind of weird was not getting to hear him say, like, his goodbye just because he's been on so long. Is there any plans to maybe have something like that for him? Or
Not right now. I don't think that's something that needs to happen. You know, it does suck. And that is something that I agree with that does kind of suck. But that happens with business.
Yeah.
That nobody ever gets a goodbye. You know, nobody ever gets you can do it on, you know, the cool thing is you can do it on social media. And I encourage you, reach out to Eric, tell him he's awesome.
And Eric has explained things on his social media a little bit too.
Yeah. I have nothing but hope for the fact that we can be pals through all the end of this. And it is, you know, there's nothing about it right now that's pointing that direction. Doors wide open. I get why Eric would be pissed at me. I totally get it. It makes sense. But I read that. This is funny. I read this. And I read it to Toledo yesterday. I was reading an article about that dude that sailed from British Columbia down to the South Arctic and then came back. And he was pretending he had shipmates on a sailboat. And he wrote, "No sailor can abide another putting his life and safety above all others. As the captain, I knew it was high time to reestablish order and discipline, lest the remaining crew and the ship itself fall into anarchy." My eyes opened last week that that's where we were going. That we had a potential problem. And it's not because of Eric. It has a lot to do with Brady had some stuff under the surface. Toledo did. I did. And Eric did. And I think there was a certain point where it's like, I think for the sake of everything going forward, it's probably best to part with him.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah? Okay. And I would love to have a goodbye, but I think reaching out to Eric and telling him, you know, on Facebook, he can hate me all he wants. I got, you know, my shoulders aren't broad, but they carry a lot of weight. And I got duck feathers. So if he's got a problem with me, he's justified in having it, and that's fine. But, you know, find out from him and talk to him, too. Get what he says. Because, I mean, we did have a blow-up argument last week, and it was, you know, about certain topics on the show. And then afterwards, the underlying theme got involved, and I kind of did.
And gave it time to think about it.
Yeah, I did. I tried to think about it for a long time, and it just became obvious to me when things were said that I can no longer plug this back together and have it be healthy. And yeah, that's on me.
You could tell when that would happen, especially within the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there was always an underlying goofy tension. Eric liked that, and that was the role he played. We poked, he poked back, but it was, you know, it just gets to a point where I think moving forward, there's a lot of tension in the world, and the last thing I want is somebody to leave this job feeling like it sucks. Except for Jeremy. I don't care if he does that.
And deal? That's Jeremy's role now.
That's right. All right. Well, there. Did that answer it?
Yeah.
All right. There you go.
Some things out. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, buddy. See you.
All right. Line two is Steven. He wants to talk about the Eric situation, hopefully it's something different.
Steven, I'm not going to reiterate. Steven, I hope you heard all of that.
Yeah, I did hear all of that. Okay. Thanks for giving some clarification. My question is, in the industry of entertainment, such as you guys are, how come when something like this happens, it's very rarely ever talked about? When I think about, like, Bruce St. James and Pam Hughes and way back in the day, Kid Rubin, it's, I mean, all of a sudden, people are just gone, and there's nothing said about it.
It's most of the time it's legal.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's true of all places. Like I'm different. I like to let people know my thoughts on things, and I'll tell you anything. I mean, people have been asking me on email and things like that. And again, I'll never ever say Eric sucked. This it was not the case. That's not what happened. My assessment through all this was basically the underlying problem that I knew may have been there, but I didn't focus on. It's again, that's my fault. That's bad management. My bad. But I let it go too long, and I couldn't put it back together. The reason it doesn't get talked about in Ken and Ruben, we still have questions in the industry why that Mac guy from Mac and Gatos, and I know people at that station, and they will not tell me what happened.
Yep.
I personally don't know why it becomes such a secret, other than nobody wants to smear each other. You get into libel, especially with social media, where somebody goes on and starts bashing the boss, and the boss starts bashing the guy or the on-air guy. So they just say, don't talk about it at all, so nobody slips up.
Yeah.
And here's another in the history of people being removed, or whether they leave, or a lot of times they have a contract where they can't say anything. They're paid not to say anything.
And that's true in my case, in Brady's case, and Eric can say whatever he wants. So he didn't have that. Huh. So if he wants to flamethrow, I don't think he's that guy, but he can. So, you know, and he's been fine. He's been good. And we still, you know, look, over time, hopefully we all realize I think this is the best decision going forward. But you're right. It is weird because there's stuff in radio that I've been around. I never knew why a guy got fired at all. And it never
comes back. A couple of people have tried it in the business, and usually it's not a good thing to have the person, look, we're going to fire you. We're going to let you go. But come on back and do your last show, because I know you're going to talk highly about us.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It's strange. Well, there you go.
Well, hopefully, thanks for the information.
Not a problem, brother. We'll talk to you later. You're being so cordial.
All right. Line three. Saul's trees are dying, and he thinks his neighbors may be poisoning him.
You think, oh, my. Saul, you think your neighbors are poisoning your trees?
Yeah. Thank you for having me on. I don't know. I think we're going to have to go to video surveillance, but it's not being overwatered. I have heard it's an issue. It's a Fentex ash. I've had it for 14 years. Beautiful tree. And all the neighbors get along, everybody except for this individual on the right. And when I come home late at night, he scurries. He scurries, like, from the side of his yard over. And I know he can do whatever he wants, but I'm beginning to think
he's poisoning your trees.
In town where I could, well, it's so green all of a sudden. And all of a sudden, I mean, I know it's hot, but it's turning yellow, and then the leaves are dropping.
Check for nails. What kind of tree is it?
It's an ash.
It's an ash tree. I think you can drive nails in an ash, right?
Oh, nails on
the. Tell them to call one of those
arborists. Get an arborist. I have a friend who's an arborist. If you want, hang on, I'll give you his number.
Now, why would your neighbor have cause to do this to your tree? Is it on your property?
It's on my property. It's an HOA community. It's, you know, the track homes. It's nothing fancy, but I mean, it's so close. And at one point, I did put a sign out on my British morello. It's a shrub that blossoms all the time.
Jeez,
and it started to turn like yellowish, brownish. And I put a sign out with poster board. I said, stop poisoning my plant. And then all of a sudden, like a week, 2 weeks later, my plant comes back to life.
We're open.
Yeah. I'm most worried that you have a neighbor who scurries.
It's so
there might
weird
be bigger things.
And all the neighbors across the street, the military kids across the street, the families, everybody's like, we're all cool, we all watch out for each other. But it's been a situation, and I would probably be the same if I lived at home, but, you know, in my 50s with my mom, and, like, you know, that's because I think that's what's going on there. But I mean,
yeah, you're not helping the cause. If he's hearing this right now and he knows he's the scurrying neighbor, you just took a shot at his manhood too.
Well, yeah, I know, but you know what? I it's just scary because it's like, first is a tree, and then what's next? You know, a pet or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, just disclosure is that my daughter goes out in the backyard and they play volleyball, and then they're like, they see the blind dancing up and down, and we're like, what the heck is going on? So I sat out there, and she says, yeah, that blind keeps moving up and down, and then they heard growling, like human growling.
Oh, he's a human growler? Call the police.
That's Ed Gein.
You've got Ed Gein living next door. It's a theme today. Oh, my God. All right. Well, I went off the phone with you because this guy will come after me. All right, we got to go. We're running out of time.
No.
I'll talk to you later. All good luck with your trees. Stay on hold. I'll get you the guy. Jesus, Christmas. Who's last?
We lost line
four. Okay, good. Yeah, that's better. So Jimmy Wisman texted in and said, got it. Very well said, John. Eric was a QAnon guy. Take the story as you will. Run with it. Run wild. Make fire. Have fun with it. Everybody wants to make more out of something than there is. It's just a relationship flawed, needed to end. And it wasn't just Eric. We're the three of us in this room guilty also of perpetuating the problem and possibly ignoring it. My fault. That's bad management. My name's on the show, so it all lands on me good. It all lands on me bad. So that's where I'll put that. Hopefully that puts it to bed. Brett, did that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Right, yeah.
You're next.
Oh.
There you go. We got the entertainment drill coming up next. It's 98 KUPD.
You're all right, man. We should do this thing.